This morning, the message that was inspired to deliver had to do with going out into all the world, preaching the gospel as exhorted in the 16th chapter of Mark. I'd like to read those two verses again. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And maybe as we're together here this evening for a little while, I'd like to discuss this. If I had a title this evening, it would be the application of going out. Maybe very specifically, what does that look like? What does it mean? What can I specifically do, me personally, when we read these sorts of exhortations? Sometimes it can just kind of be a blur, if you will, a fuzziness associated with going out and preaching the gospel, and maybe we don't just have clear, crisp ideas of what that looks like for me. And yet I believe it's an exhortation for all of us, and I believe there's practical application for all of us, and I believe the Lord would have it to be clear and crisp in some measures for us individually. And so that's my burden tonight, is that we explore that a little bit. And maybe before we do that, maybe just briefly as a review, this thing about going into all the world, we could flip over to Matthew, we won't take the time, but where Jesus said, "You're the light of the world, the city set on the hill cannot be hid, you're the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This thing about going out into the world, was it just a passing thought that the Lord had? Was it just something that maybe is optional? We could take it or leave it, like on a buffet line that's, you know, really large and you can just get a few things, and the other is there just, "Yeah, that's a good idea." What do you think? Pardon?
I don't believe he intended it to be optional.
Don't believe he intended for it to just be something optional or idle or just a thought to consider. It's an exhortation. Go ye out into all the world. To do what? What did he say to do? Preach the gospel. So this evening I'd like to dig a little deeper on what it means to go out into all the world, and how we specifically, by the Lord's help, can preach the gospel. Hard to be a light if the candle's covered, isn't it? What does going out into all the world mean? And I know this is just a little bit of a review from this morning, but I'd like to just preface it, and we'll move through this pretty quickly. What does that mean? Does it just mean people at church? All right, our worlds aren't always the same. So Sister Tammy said, our world is those people that we come in contact with in a given day's time, wherever we go, wherever we are, that's our world that day. All types of people in all types of places. And we mentioned this morning several of those places: at work, at home, at town, at school, yes, here at church, in our neighborhoods. And I'd like to just make this point: when we think about what does preaching mean, when it says go into all the world and preach the gospel, we could spend a lot of time, I suspect, on different aspects of what it means to preach. But one of the things that I feel inspired that I want to convey at the front end of this is that when this says to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, there is intent associated with that. There's purpose. You're going out into the world with the intent, with the purpose of conveying the hope of the gospel. So, and Lord, help me say this in a way that makes sense. Sometimes, and it's challenging to me to think about it like this, but sometimes it can be easy to rest in the belief that all that's required of me is that I'll go out into the world, I'll live a Christian life, which means a lot of things, and certainly people see that, and the Lord can use my life as other people look at me as I, how do I say this, as I passively take the gospel to the world, passively, and that's enough. That's a big part of it. That yes, people are going to see your life. People are going to, the Lord is going to use your life in ways that you never dreamed, and many people are going to draw strength or be challenged and see Jesus through your life, and you'll never know it. You never knew you even did anything. But I believe tonight that there's also another part. And I believe that other part is that the Lord would have us get a vision and be able to have this understanding that becomes alive in our lives, that I am going to get up this morning and I'm going to go out into the world, to school, to work, you know, my job, the neighborhoods, to town, to church, and I have this intention, I have a purpose to go into the world with the purpose of taking the gospel with me, that it might be shared. As opposed to at the end of the day, well, I don't know, I had this to pick up in town, and I had to go to work, and I had to do this, this, and this at work, and then I came home and I ate dinner, and I don't know. Sunday I go to church, and that's kind of a spiritual thing that I do, a religious thing, and that's different than getting up 7 days a week and saying, I'm a child of God, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Christ, and my intent is, yes, I need to go to work and I need to do these tasks. Yes, I'm going to go to school and I've got to focus on these things. Yes, I live in the neighborhood and this is what's associated with that. But I want to do it with the purpose and intent that my eyes are open to the opportunities that God may be laying at my doorstep, at my feet, that I can share the hope of the gospel. Wouldn't you like somebody to do that if you were the one in need? So, Lord, help us with that. Time's moving fast. So, specifically, preaching the gospel in some of these different settings. I know this is a lot, and I could spend a long time up here, and I don't intend to. But I would like to say maybe a couple things as work through several of these scenarios, maybe quickly, but touch on them. At home, How do we preach the gospel at home? Pass the baton to our children with the gospel. Any more you want to expound on that? How do we do that?
One of the ways is when we gather around in the evening or morning or whatever, and we have our times of family worship and teaching of our children. Now, along with living before them, so they can see all of it match up.
Well, you usually get opportunities if you have children, especially if you have more than one, that there's going to be some kind of ruckus or something during the day that you have a golden opportunity to teach them how to handle it the next time in a better way. A lot less.
So, just heard three things, and they all go together. Brother Nelson said, pass the baton to your children. We have a responsibility to actively reach out and take what God has given us to run with, and we're going to pass on, and our time and our season's going to go, and there we have got to actively think about how we can pass it on to our children. It's a responsibility that we have as spiritual leaders in the home. I would that all young people, young marrieds, that we would all get a hold of this. And then sister, and then brother, brother Bobby said, spoke of when you gather around at home and you have family worship. Folks, I cannot emphasize the importance enough. I wish the chapel were full tonight. Of establishing a family altar of prayer. That is an opportunity at home to preach the gospel. That's an opportunity that you don't have to get in a plane and fly thousands of miles away. You have children that potentially may get married, have other children. They will have maybe get married and have other children, and it turns into a whole lot of people fast. And do not diminish or devalue or not recognize the value of taking that time every evening, if you possibly can, to set aside time and teach the gospel. Preach it, not in a preachy way or in a condemning and a critical way, but a passing of the baton. I like that analogy in a way that they can get a hold of it. You don't beat them with the baton. You don't stick them with the baton. You pass it in a way that they are able to get a hold of it with their hand. And Sister Tammy said, throughout the course of the day, there's all kinds of opportunities at home for object lessons and for teaching. Okay, let's look at what just happened. How might we approach this differently? Here's what happened. Here's why it happened. What could have we have done differently? That's a responsibility that we have in the home to take the gospel to the world, to our living rooms. And mothers, we have a couple of mothers here with children. That at this time of your life is your mission field. Don't feel like guilty and bad and, well, I'm not able to fly here and go there and go miles out. Your primary mission field, those of you that have children at home, you've got a mission field right in your living room. And the Lord wants you to be encouraged to take the gospel, the hope of the gospel, and as best as you can, by the grace of God, do it in a way that they can get a hold of the baton. Don't have to be critical. You don't have to be judgmental. Yes, sometimes there's discipline that's associated with it. But as much as is possible, preach the gospel without being preachy, in a way that bitterness and it turns you. And children sometimes they get weary of being taught, but they're seeds that are sown. But try to do it in a way with love. Amen.
I have found, Brother Rod, that sometimes it's good to maybe share what goes on in our lives when we're not at home. When we get home, maybe to share that with. I've been guilty of, if you want to call it guilty, sitting around a table in the evening eating supper. I start sharing with Crystal, but we're talking about life and the things that face as we're out, but we're doing it in the hopes that it's teaching.
Yes.
You know, we're not preaching at them, but we're just talking about, hey, we face this today, and, you know, just, or this is a situation that happened, and anyway, it's just
yes,
a good, I have found it helpful.
Did everybody hear that? I grew up in a home where that was. Family worship and what you just described were sometimes you weren't sure which one you were doing. Sometimes our evenings got pretty long. We'd sit in the living room and that's what my dad would facilitate. What happened today? What'd your day look like? And have those discussions. That's bonding time. It's time that it where it's not just you talking, it's involving and bringing the children into it, and they start to feel ownership of it. There are times to where it's good to maybe have the children have a part in where they read a Bible verse, and you teach them how to lead family worship so that when they have a home, they've learned how to do that. Amen. Good stuff. What about work? How do you preach the gospel at work? We're talking about real practical things. And so I get up in the morning and I go to work and Lord, help me to go out into the world. I'm going to spend 8, 10, 12 hours here. How, practically speaking, do I preach the gospel at work? Anyone?
I've got an attitude from down here. And just our approach when we meet people. I mean, try to be in a place that we shine out the Spirit of Christ through our lives. How we answer them when they question us. And being willing to do our part and be helpful.
Yes.
There's all kind of work provided all kind of things. It's about like not a whole lot different being at home. In fact, in some ways it can be more intense, but it's still all kind of opportunities.
Anyone else? Mm-hmm.
And I know when he passed away, several of the men came to his funeral, and that's what they would say. I'm not trying to live my love, and I think that's why a lot of the people, the men that are Christian men, people want to hire them because when they see that they're trustworthy, they can trust them to be doing what they're told to do, they're not trying to run the blocks up or hide every time the supervisor comes by, that they're doing what they're supposed to do, they get a good.
Yes. Honest, responsible, diligent, whether people are watching or not, speaks volumes. Anyone else? How do you take the gospel to work? Is there any other ways that might be stepping a little bit outside of our comfort zone that are still options for us that we might take?
I think we need to do it carefully.
All right, carefully. So Brother Shane is cautioning that we need to be careful and be led by the Spirit on what we say. So in other words, how open are we if somebody comes up to us at a higher rate of speed with extra plus energy and assertiveness and almost gets in your space with something very highly religious and tries to push it down you? Is that something that really attracts us? No. I mean, not normally. But does that mean that we should always be fearful of saying a word in season that is maybe a little different than what people tend to hear? For example, something as simple as, well, I was thinking you were talking about trouble at work. When there is trouble at work, that's usually one of the best opportunities to take the gospel to the world through your attitude. What's wrong with telling a fellow employee, when you face trouble that's bigger than you are, it's outside of how you know how to handle it, to just make a quiet comment? This sounds like a good thing to pray about. Sometimes the Lord leads us to say something like that. Other times, it may not be the person knowing who they are. It may be that you know that you're just trying to agitate them with something, and the Lord says, don't do that. But you can start to pick out honest souls. Is there anything wrong with praying over your food when you're at work, whether you do it silently or out loud? Is there anything wrong with acknowledging God when we're at work? You know, I got to the place that out in the world and in the workplace, it seems like most people are very, very willing. Sometimes it feels like to impose on everyone else their thoughts and what they have to say, however immoral it may be. And if we have the right attitude, if we approach it with, well, I'm gonna show myself to be real holy in the midst of your wickedness, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about two honest things that come up where you've been asking the Lord to help you know how to witness for Him. There are times when it's okay to acknowledge the Lord at work. Be encouraged to ask the Lord to give you wisdom in those things. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can witness by watching your conversation and not laughing at
Our actions are observed more than we think, aren't they? I just feel like we live in a time where we feel this. It's almost like the bushel is handed to us to put over the candlestick when we're not within these four walls because of some of the culture that we encounter out there. When that's maybe not exactly what the Lord would have us to do. I'm not made up this way, and I'm not promoting that we're supposed to, you know, charge out there with all kinds of zeal without knowledge. It's not what I'm promoting. But I am promoting that this is the hope of the gospel, and it is the answer that people need. It's the answer to people's trouble. It's what people are searching for. And what I found in my own personal life is that it seems like that it is effective to do what many of you have said, and that is you establish a positive relationship with people, where you establish a relationship of trust, where they know that your friendship is real. They know who you are as a person. You show care on an ongoing basis in a way that reflects Christ. And when you have that kind of relationship built first, not always, but it's just, it can be effective. Then it's even more effective when you say a word in season that points people to Jesus, because they know you're real. We've got to be real. Sometimes the Lord will open up. If you're willing, and if you go to work with the intent to be a vessel for the Lord, and you ask Him, Lord, here am I, I'm willing. There are times when the Lord will just open up the opportunity where the door just opens, and maybe somebody is actually asking you, What do you believe? Why are you like how you are? Why didn't you react in this other way? And when those doors open, Lord, help us to not be fearful to step through them. As opposed to just, oh, well, I didn't see any reason to do any different, and try to get somewhere else as fast as we can. Maybe it's an opportunity that you've been praying for, and maybe they're searching and they're asking, and maybe there's some small seed that we can sow.
And I guess that's what opened up the conversation. I can't remember exactly what he asked, but he wanted to know where we went to church. And so I told him, and being a minister and us coming here. And he wanted to know, you know, what we believe and like how we, you know, the salvation through faith and the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance. And I said, we believe in living a holy life, you know, and as in a close life to the Lord. Anyway, it was just, he opened up then and told me he's from Honduras. He was raised Catholic. He came over here. Someone here was operating a business in New Orleans after Katrina, and they called his father about coming over here and working. And his father was at the age that he didn't want to do it. But he said, I have three sons. And he said, maybe one of them would like to come. Well, this boy, well, he's 37 now, but he was only 21 at the time, but he was a baby in the family. And so he wanted to come. Did not speak any English at all. But he came over here and went to work. Went to Delgado and got his and had that, got his license and everything, learned to speak English. And I was amazed. And he said, I was raised Catholic. He said, my mama was real strict with us, but he said, I have gotten into some trouble. Not trouble, he said, but I was getting into things over there that I shouldn't have. But he said, just me, he said, but He said I met up with somebody that was not Catholic. Not sure what denomination, and they showed him some things or talked to him, and he began to, you know, change his viewpoint. And he said I'm not really religious. He said, but like, and I said, well, it's about being spiritual and having a relationship with the Lord. And he said, yes. And he said, I pray and read every day. He said, my wife and I, he married a girl from New Orleans who is, she's a Louisiana girl, but she's, her parents were from Honduras also. And he said, we read and we pray, and they can't have children. But he said, and the doctor talked to us about alternative ways we could go about having a child. And he said, but we prayed about it, and we decided that wasn't thing to do. But anyway, it was a real blessing to talk to him. And so before he left, I said, could I give you a couple papers to read? And he said, oh sure. He said, I'd love to read them. And so I gave him, I think I gave him three or four of Brother Michael's Gospel Truth papers to take. And so if y'all think about it, remember him, his first name is Rudy. And
so all.
He's searching. He's, you know, and I told him to keep reading and praying and following the Lord. He said, oh, it's been, you know, praying. Sometimes opportunities open up right, very unexpectedly, right in the home with people, you know, with service people.
So all that happened as a result of you agreeing with him with the scripture. So. That's a wide open door, isn't it? We're starting to run out of time. Maybe one more. How about when you go to town? Is there any way you can show Jesus and preach the gospel when you go to town? You have any thoughts, anyone? Is it possible when you go to town that you're so focused on what it is that, I'm guilty of that, you're so focused on what it is you're going in to get that you blow right by opportunities all around you? People that need help, somebody that's struggling, somebody that needs a helping hand. I wonder how many Lazaruses we pass at our gate throughout the course of going to work, going to town, in our neighborhoods, that are there day after day, and we're so focused on what we're trying to achieve that we go right past it. When sometimes stopping, taking a little time out, saying a few words of encouragement, showing some interest and encouragement can make such a difference.
The challenge that I've had with this morning's message and this evening is having a purpose, leaving the house with a purpose and an intent. I don't know if I've really been faithful in that. Having a purpose, you know, you've been more of maybe like what you're saying, you're going through life and then you drop nuggets as you go, but to me I see it a little differently as if there's a purpose and an intent mm-hmm. that you're looking not only for those opportunities, you are trying to help make those opportunities
mm-hmm.
also.
Yes.
I've been in sales a little bit, not real big in it, but when you're in sales, you're always focused and you're listening and you're looking for an opportunity to bring up whatever it is that you have, that you're offering. And that's what I've been challenged with today, with this purpose,
yes.
this intent.
Lord, help us all. Conclude with this.
I think about that verse that says, be ready always to give an answer to every man. That's a challenge to me because I tend to want to shy away from deep conversations that get religious. So, I'll be ready to answer.
Sister Dewana brought up the scripture that says, be ready to give an answer to every man. Which is a good segue with the other thing you said. It's not maybe within you to just go out and vocally, you know, interact with people in that kind of way. And sometimes we're influenced that way by a negative influence, and sometimes we have to recognize that and realize, no, I have something to offer too that the Lord doesn't want me to cover. But I want to conclude with this. The Lord is not asking you to be somebody different than you are. He's not asking you to be brother or sister so-and-so. The Lord wants you to be you. He wants you to be real. He doesn't want you to be phony. He wants you to be you. He wants to use you to shine your light. Yes, be willing to stretch a little bit, be willing to be led of the Lord, but He wants us to be real. And He doesn't want us to compare ourselves to other people and say, well, if I'm not like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, then I really can't do it very well. It's the Lord that gives the increase. He's asking you to sow the seed that you have. Let Him give the increase and not feel like you have to come to some standard that you see other people, because that's not what the Lord is asking of us. He's asking us to be followers of God as dear children, and we're not all the same and we're not going to all do it the same. But may God help us to feel the importance and the urgency to go out, as Brother Shane reiterated, with purpose and intent. Amen.